Grace, mercy, and peace be unto each of you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text is the gospel reading for this day from John chapter 17. I read for you again these words. Jesus said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all flesh, to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they know you are the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." So far the reading of the text. In the name of Jesus, our risen and ascended Lord, the only Savior of the world. On the night when Jesus was betrayed, he prayed what is known as his high priestly prayer. Today's gospel is the beginning of that prayer. He begins, "Father, the hour has come." How different from other times when he said, "My hour has not yet come." He said it to his mother in Cana when she asked him to solve a little problem at the wedding feast. Once in Galilee, when the people did not like his preaching, they were seeking to arrest him, but no one laid a hand on him, because his hour had not yet come. And again, when Jesus was taught in the temple treasury, no one arrested him because his hour had not yet come. But on this night, his hour had come. After this prayer, Jesus will be arrested. His teaching complete. The way to the cross prepared. No more delays. No more side trips. No more narrow getaways. The temple guard is coming with armor and sword. Jesus is to be bound and carried away for an illegal trial and a bloody death. Jesus prays, "Father, the hour has come." And then he says, "Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. And now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed." Jesus, whose glory is from eternity, has an understanding of glory that is much different from ours. For when we hear of God's glory, we may think of an old man with a long beard sitting on a throne with a gentle yellow halo surrounding his head. Or we may think of Jesus shining brightly as at his transfiguration, or his coming in judgment on a black and boiling thundercloud. Or perhaps we envision the Lord of glory with eyes like fire, a voice like many waters, and a double-edged sword coming out of his mouth. Yet, none of these is how our Lord speaks of his glory in John's gospel. Indeed, the Lord's ways are not our ways, and his thoughts are not our thoughts. When Jesus considered the glory he had before the world was made, he's not thinking the sort of thing that his fallen creatures consider glory to be. His glory is true. It is real. It's complete. When we think of glory, especially for ourselves, we think of power, fame, acclaim, recognition, prestige, and possibly money. We want the ability to control our own destiny from beginning to end. Our view of glory is every bit a self-seeking and self-serving glory. It's all about me. And yet, such a view of glory is vainglory and narcissism. Such glory is a perversion of the real thing. But with Jesus, it's different. With Jesus, glory is not about the self. It's about the other. To be glorified is to give yourself. And so Jesus says, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life." The hour has come for the grain of wheat to fall into the earth and die. The glory of Jesus is his crucifixion and death. The glory of Jesus is for him to receive all of your sin and to give you all of his righteousness. This is the glory that he had with the Father before the world was made. Jesus, as the Father's eternal and only begotten Son, received from him all things. If you listen to what Jesus says in the Gospel of John about his Father, you will be told many wonderful things. Jesus' Father testifies concerning Jesus throughout the Old Testament. Jesus' Father has sent him so that all who believe in him might have eternal life. Jesus' Father has sent him so that by seeing the Son, all may know the Father's love. Jesus does not speak his own word. He speaks what the Father has given him to say. We hear this, and we may be tempted to think it makes Jesus less than he would be otherwise. He's less powerful if he listens to the voice of his Father. If he really is true God, he should act on his own authority. But this thinking, again, is the thinking of men. We think service diminishes us. We think obedience makes us subordinate, oppressed, and less than free. But not Jesus. From eternity, he has received all good things from his Father. What goes for the Father goes also for the Son. The Son has received all that is his Father's. And so, with the joy of perfect freedom, Jesus hears his Father's voice, does his Father's will, and receives from his Father perfect glory and perfect love. The Son of Man is not diminished by his obedience to his Father's will. It's an easy yoke. It's a light burden. It's the joy of the true Son to obey the true Father. It is in this eternal relationship between God the Father and God the Son that we can see what true fatherhood and true sonship really are. Never in all eternity has the Father been anything but God the Father. Never in all eternity has the Son been anything but God the Son. the unity of will within the Trinity is not really that surprising. The Trinity is united in love. Eternal love, dear Christian, is what created you. Eternal love is what motivated the Father to send His Son. Eternal love moved the Son to come and give His life for you. There was nothing desirable in you. There was nothing worthy of the Lord's love. But God does not love as we love. His love seeks only to give Himself. His love seeks only for you to live in Him forever in perfect peace and joy. Who would not rejoice to receive from, to listen to, and to obey such a Father as this? It is from this eternal relationship that Jesus makes His request. Now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed. And so it is in this love that the Son asks the Father to glorify Him. Jesus tells His Father, I'm ready. I will now go to the cross. My glory will be the salvation of the world. I will give myself for them and to them. They will be mine. None of whom you've given me will ever slip from my hand. The glory of Jesus has not changed. He still comes for you. He still wants to give all that He has to His beloved church, especially eternal life. He lives in perfect joy and peace with His Father. He has united Himself with you by His baptism. He has died so that your sinful flesh too shall die. He lives, and so your resurrected body also will live. Because He has ascended to the right hand of His Father, you too shall ascend. His glory is your forgiveness, and His forgiveness is your salvation. There's nothing to fear, not for Jesus, not for you. The cross is Jesus' glory because it is by the blood of the cross that you have life and salvation. As Jesus prays for you, He says, I have given them the words that you gave me, and they have received them and have come to know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. You have the Lord's words. You have the Lord's promises. You have the life that can never end. You have the peace that comes from the resurrected and ascended body of our Lord. You have the forgiveness that comes from eating His body and drinking His blood. You have Jesus, and so you have eternal life. To Him be all the glory, now and forever. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.